The program for Monday, thus. Good morning. Welcome to Truth for Today. For this day, and perhaps much of this week, let's think on this subject involving the Christian adjective. Yes, it would seem to be foolish to try to describe the Christian religion in one word, one sentence, one page, or any limited number of words. Yet when we read the New Testament, when we make a comparison between the two Testaments, or when we try to tell someone the difference between a Christian and a sinner, there's one word that keeps coming up, and that word is the adjective new. And how appropriate to think about this word as we start a new year. First, there is the New Testament. We open our Bibles and we find them divided into two major parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Each one was given to a particular people for a particular purpose. A lot of people stumble in their understanding of the Bible by disregarding this simple fact. The inspired Apostle Paul admonished young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We may study the Bible all the days of our lives and not understand it simply because we do not rightly divide the word of truth. One way of rightly dividing the word of truth, or handling it aright, is by making the proper distinction between the Old and the New Testament. We must realize that originally the Old Testament was given to the Jews, and that it is not the final revelation of God to mankind. God gave the law to Moses from Mount Sinai for the Israelite people. This covenant or testament was not God's final revelation. Jeremiah, one of the great Old Testament prophets, makes this plain in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 32, where he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." In the New Testament, the writer of the book of Hebrews quotes this as applied to the Old and New Testaments. That's in chapters 8 and 10. John 1:17 states, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Colossians 2:14 shows us when the Old Testament was removed as no longer binding. It reads, "says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Thus, when Christ died on the old rugged cross, the Old Testament was rendered invalid as no longer binding to be observed. Then we read in Hebrews 9:27, or rather Hebrews 9, verse 16 and 17, where it makes it evident that this is the time the New Testament came into being. It says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, for a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." The purpose of the Old Testament is clear. The Apostle Paul, looking back, said in Galatians 3:24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." In verse 19 of this same chapter, Paul asked a question, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator." Hebrews 10:1 tells us that the law had a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, having reference to the coming New Testament age and all of its spiritual realities. So the law served as civil government as well as religious for the Jews, keeping men in check until Christ would come. It was a schoolmaster to bring them and us to Christ. In its many symbols, in its many prophecies, this shows the basic purpose of the Old Testament and its relationship to the New Testament. There are many more things we'd like to say about this, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Thank you for listening today.